Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, I was thinking about the Marines, and obviously, you know, I'm not a Marine, but I know Marines, and I love the way they think. And I just want to talk this morning, you know, or in this extra hour about, you know, rethinking church. You know, we talk about that quite often, but we need to begin, keep our minds focused on what we're supposed to be. The church is, when we talk about the church, we're talking about human beings who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the Spirit of God comes and dwells inside of us. And that there's a purpose, you know, God's model, the purpose of the church, according to, I believe it's like Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, I'm not sure, but the purpose of the church is to make God's manifold wisdom known to the heavenly realm. There's something that we are supposed to do as the church. And so if we're not making, you know, God's manifold wisdom known to anybody, not even to mankind, and they're trying to make their ways known to us and snuff out our ways, like, we're not doing so, or something's not right.
That's right.
And so we need to rethink this. And so I started thinking about the Marines. You know, it's said in the Marines that they live by this, you know, several mottos, but one of them is no man left behind. No man left behind. You know, they fight together as a squad, like a smaller squad. They have small groups of officers or soldiers. They're led by an officer. They live together. They sleep together. They eat together. They fight together. And this small community builds a bond that causes them to be willing to be courageous and brave and do honorable things for each other. It's reported that when a Marine saw that all his squadron was about to be wounded and killed possibly by a grenade, that he was so committed to his fellow Marines that he laid on top of the grenade to keep from everybody being killed. He gave his own life. He gave his own life by falling on the grenade so nobody else would die. And I'm saying this because that's an honorable, courageous thing. And what happened in his life that he built such a relationship with a few other, you know, Marines, men and women, that he's willing to say, I'd rather give my life for them than them to have to give. I can see Dan, I don't want them to get hurt. Because this is something the church is supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to look at the Marines and find out, you know, what are you doing that causes this to be able to take place? Because Jesus said in John 15:13, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That Marine laying upon a grenade that he knew that would take his life, that would save other lives, is a great act of love and courage and honor and bravery.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's just huge. I mean, you can't even get many Christians in America to just lay over a news story and refuse to believe it.
Yeah, right.
No, that's right.
You know, one thing happens and they just abandon somebody. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy what's going on. You know, this squad of Marines, when one of their fellow Marines are wounded in the line of fire, that they're willing to walk in a very dangerous way, in the very way their fellow Marine was wounded. They go on the same path that their fellow Marine was wounded to get the fallen Marine to bring him or her back in safety, risking their own lives to be able to rescue their fellow Marine so they could bring him back or her back for medical treatment. I mean, they risk their life. They're willing to lay down their own lives and take on their burden of their brother or sister who was down and shot, and they go in harm's way, the very harm's way that took them down, that now they're willing to go in that area and they can be shot or hurt just like that one was shot and hurt. But they said no Marine left behind, no one left behind. So they go into the harm's way. But see, we got to figure out, you know, the Marines are doing it and we're called to do it in the church. What are they doing? What is the thing that they're doing? I think about Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 2. He says, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch out yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. I mean, you think about it. This large tip of the spear force called the Marines boils down to microcosms of small groups, small squadrons of men and women who live together, who eat together, who sleep together, who fight together under the instructions of the the overall leadership of the Marines with no man left behind being their theme. We're here together. We're all together for one. And to rethink in the church, what do the Marines have? You know, what the Marines have accomplished through small squadrons, we as the church can only accomplish if we do the same thing. You're not going to lay down your life for a stranger, somebody that you never met, that you barely know. You've got to somehow get, you know, not everybody. I mean, the whole thing is they have a small squadron and they live their life together. They're in the same foxholes together. They're in the same mills together. They go through the ups and downs together. And they're Marines. And they understand what the church has yet lately to understand in this season of the church. And we have to say, look at them. Just look and learn. I mean, Jesus says that the world understands the seasons and the times, but you don't even understand. It's like sometimes the world understands how things are supposed to operate, where the church don't even have a clue. People don't walk into the line of spiritual fire or any other danger to rescue someone they barely know. And barely knowing anybody that particular falls under some sort of spiritual attack in their life, people don't go out in the line of fire to rescue them. I guess the motto for the American church is every man left behind.
Wow.
But you have to understand, but if we're not doing what the Marines are doing, building small squadrons, if you would, that we're building relationships, that they don't know the person who's, they don't, and so the enemy can lie about them. The enemy can lie about them, and because they don't know them, they believe the lie and say, ah, they've fallen because of, and they just automatically believe it. But when we operate as the Lord operated in a small squad, think about it, a small group of believers who are rightly related apostolically, you know, they dedicate themselves to the apostles' teachings, they get to know and to love each other. We get to know and love each other. They know that what has happened to their brother or sister is an attack of the adversary because they know them. They know their life. They know their decisions. They know their families. They know what they go through. And they're willing to step into the line of fire for their fallen brother or sister because of the love they have for them. And they live by the motto, no brother, no sister left behind. They see growth. Think about it. They see growth of the forces of our Lord by having more squads, more small groups, building smaller groups of gatherings that can build a personal relationship with each other. I mean, you think about it. We can look at the Marines and we can learn. I mean, Jesus had his 12. He had 12 in his squadron. The Son of God, the one who's hearing instructions from heaven, who was with God from the beginning, who told us to imitate him, he had 12 in his squadron. He had 12. Towards the very end of his ministry here on earth, he is speaking to God, his Father and our Father, about his squad, about the disciples. He lived with them. He ate with them. He slept with them. He fought spiritual battles with them, who he had trained to fight the good fight of faith, to continue the battle of advancing the kingdom of God, saying this in John 17, 10 through 12. He says, this is Jesus talking to the Father. He says, all I have is yours, Father. That's what he's talking to Father God. And all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. Talking about his squadron. I will remain in the world no longer, but they, Jesus talking about his squad, are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And listen, this is it. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name that you gave me. None has been lost. Look at that. None has been lost. That's his squad. That's like the Marines, right? We stuck together. And of course, he says, except the one that was doomed for destruction, the scripture foretold, which is, you know, Judas. But think about it. Jesus is saying the very same thing. Rethinking church, we need to ask ourselves and say, what are we doing in our present fellowships, in our gatherings? Do we really know anybody? I mean, not you know their name, but do they know you? Or do you go, if they really knew me, they wouldn't want anything to do with me? Who have you eaten with on a regular basis? Who have you fought battles with? Who have you rescued from the battle? Whose burden are you carrying? Is there two? Is there four for a squad? Is there eight? Is there 10? Is there 12? You know, rethinking this is so important, and begin with understanding that Jesus called us to imitate him. When we look at the Marines, they're so faithful and living together and doing what's required to be able to protect the people with no man left behind. Being loyal to God is being loyal to each other. Loving God is loving each other. We have to figure out a way to do that. Yes, the Marines, it's a very large organization, but it's built on a very small organization of families, small groups. And you'll find out Marines are Marines forever. They're forever because they built those relationships. Mm-hmm. They built the relationships. And that's how it will happen. It's not something you force in your head. It's something you live out in your life. And because of how the Marines are able to do that, we're able to defend a country. They say, when they go out and they walk into the line of fire, when they go out and put themselves in dangerous ways, when they lay their life down, they're not laying their life down for the country. They're not laying their, even though they are, they're not laying their life down for their the Marines. If you talk to them, they'll say, I'm laying my life down for my brother. Hmm. They boil it down to a relationship. No one left behind. Greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friend. You know, rethinking, beginning to live as Jesus did, as the Marines so faithfully do, living as one, getting to know, love, and understand each other to the point that we become loyal to God and loyal to them, to the point that you are willing to risk your life to assure their life, willing to lay down your life for them, which is true friendship, by the way, to the point you are willing to bear their burdens, which is the only way we can fulfill the law of Christ. And by this, by the way, this very thing, the Marines, with their reflecting, and Jesus walked out in his everyday life, shows us and shows the world supernaturally, as he tells us in John chapter 17, when he looks at this, when the world looks at this, when they look at that squadron, those disciples with Jesus, when they look at you and the few that you're walking with, that you help find jobs and that you meet each other's needs and that you know that somebody's going to be there for you. When they look at that, that's unity. And when they see that, something supernaturally happens that Jesus tells us about in John chapter 17, I believe 23, he says, by this unity, by that, people will know you're my disciples and they'll know that I love them as much as I love my own son. When they just look at that squadron, you're not going to lay down your life for a stranger. You got to meet them. You got to meet them. You couldn't, and I remember being in gatherings, you know, 1,000 or 2,000, and you couldn't get two people to show up for a prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. You couldn't get, it was amazing, but there was no, they're all strangers. You had to hire somebody. You had 2,000 people, and you had to hire somebody to be able to take care of the kids. Mm-hmm. Because they're strangers. But when we understand, we break it down like Jesus said, imitate me. Paul said, imitate me. Let's just quit imitating traditions and religions, and let's just imitate Christ. He had a squadron of 12. A squadron of 12. And look what he did. Oh, and one of them was a betrayer. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Think about that. I just want to encourage you. It's okay to rethink it. If you look at the Marines and you see the commercials, and you go, well, how do they do that? How do they do that? How do they just barge into a new nation and to go in there and they just marched into Iraq thinking they're going to face chemicals of mass destructions, weapons of mass destructions, and they're donning these plastic suits and they're going in there with their guns. They don't know what's going to happen, mm-hmm. but they're willing to do it. They're doing it because they're going to go there with their brothers. They're fighting with a small unit of people who know each other, who've lived their lives together, and they understand that he's there for me and I'm there for him. And in that, a new commandment, Jesus says, I give you. Love each other. Mm-hmm. By this, all men will know you're my disciple.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.